Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26. I was a freshman in college. I had skipped my senior year of high school in order to start college early. And here I was starting my first day and hoping it was going to be okay. I walked in wearing my new boots that I had acquired. They were not fancy-dancy cowboy boots. They were called something like Dingoes or Durangos or something. I think the brand may still be out there. I haven't worn them since that pair. But you know, I had my boots on, had my jeans on, thought I looked reasonably like a facsimile of a freshman. And so here I went. And I went in. My first class was typing 101. Walked into class and went over and took my seat. I was thinking, yeah, I fit. I'm okay. I look cool. And the young lady who was seated right next to me looked over and said, "Did you leave your horse outside?" All the air went out of my balloon. Okay? What little bit of confidence I'd been able to muster just gone. But I still to this day remember the sting of her sarcastic statement. She was not trying to be cruel. She wasn't trying to crush the fragile heart of this vain young man. She was just making conversation. But in doing so, I felt silly. Now, I thought wearing cowboy boots, you know, I mean, again, they weren't, you know, like Grand Ole Opry stars wear with all the stuff on them. They were just boots, you know, but they were definitely cowboy boots. I mean, they had the taller heel in the back, and they were made for riding, and I wasn't riding. You know, I mean, I thought it was a perfectly reasonable thing to do, but what she was communicating to me is, this does not fit. Okay? It's not cold weather. The snow has not arrived. You're not riding a horse. What are you doing wearing those boots? That doesn't fit. I have since discovered many people on occasion wear things that might be fine for something else, but they're not right for the occasion. You understand? They just don't fit. The message this morning is titled, "Some Things Don't Fit." They just don't belong. They're just not right. This is not the time. This is not the place. And that's one of the main themes of Proverbs 26. Like snow in summer, or rain in harvest, honor is not fitting for a fool. Like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. A whip for the horse, a halter for the donkey, and a rod for the backs of fools. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. Like cutting off one's feet or drinking violence is the sending of a message by the hand of a fool. Like a lame man's legs that hang limp is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Like tying a stone in a sling is the giving of honor to a fool. Like a thorn bush in a drunkard's hand is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Like an archer who wounds at random is he who hires a fool or any passerby. As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. The sluggard says, there is a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He is too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who answer discreetly. Like one who seizes a dog by the ears is a passerby who meddles in a quarrel not his own. Like a madman shooting firebrands or deadly arrows is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. Like a coating of glaze over earthenware are fervent lips with an evil heart. A malicious man disguises himself with his lips, but in his heart he harbors deceit. Though his speech is charming, do not believe him, for seven abominations fill his heart. His malice may be concealed by deception, but his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. If a man digs a pit, he will fall into it. If a man rolls a stone, it will roll back on him. A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, again, we said that there are some things that just don't fit. They don't belong. They're not right. Is honor a good thing? Yes, honor is a good thing. But is it right to honor a fool? No, it's not. It doesn't fit. It doesn't belong. It's not appropriate. How many of you have some article of clothing that you think is a really wonderful article of clothing? Tell me you have something you like my boots were to me. Okay, you got something, think of it right now. You think that's a really good thing? You think that's a good thing? Would it be a good thing to use for your pet to lie on while giving birth? Okay? No, it doesn't fit. It's not right. I mean, it's a perfectly good thing. It's a wonderful thing. As a matter of fact, I thought of this because it's my favorite item. Well, if it's your favorite item, does it belong out there in the birthing pen? No. No. That doesn't fit. It's not right. Well, that's what he's talking about here. Like snow in summer. It's not supposed to snow in the summer. Or rain in harvest. Ooh, that would be disaster. Honor is not fitting for a fool. Think about our celebrity culture. If you want to know what does honor for a fool look like, just look around. We live in a culture where people who show no evidence of intelligence, no evidence of wisdom or righteousness, holiness in their lives, are being celebrated all the time. Folks, honor is not fitting for a fool. Got it? Something else that doesn't belong and therefore you don't need to worry about is verse 2. Like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow. You know, they just keep zipping around. An undeserved curse does not come to rest. What does that mean? Well, it means if somebody curses you, if somebody says something horrible about you, it's not going to have any impact on you if it's not deserved. If somebody says you're an idiot, you don't have to feel badly unless you are an idiot. It's not a big deal. An undeserved curse will not come to rest. That means don't worry about mean things people say about you. Because it doesn't fit. The curse doesn't fit. A whip for the horse, a halter for the donkey, and a rod for the backs of fools. Some people will not change without physical pain. Some people, you just give them a word of direction and they got it. Some people, you just give them a look and they go, oh, yes. But some people will keep on doing the same stupid stuff over and over again until physically they become so miserable that they realize, I got to get help. A rod fits for the back of fools. Now, we come to two verses that seem contradictory. Verses 4 and 5. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. What? So are we supposed to answer a fool, or are we not supposed to answer a fool? Well, it depends on whether or not you answer him according to his folly. Well, no, both of them say according to his folly. So what does that mean? Okay, these are two sides of a coin. Let me see if I can give you a comparison. Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 through 5. In Galatians 6, 2 through 5, we're told, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It says everybody should test his own work and everyone needs to bear their own burden. I'm sorry, I thought you just said we're supposed to bear one another's burdens. We are. Now you're saying everybody's supposed to bear their own burden? Yes. That seems like a contradiction. Yeah, but it's not. It's a matter of perspective. When it talks about bearing burdens in Galatians chapter 6, my attitude is supposed to be, if I see you bowed down, having a tough time, I'm supposed to come alongside and help you. Okay? So when it's a matter of how I relate to others, I should be ready to help them. I should be ready to help carry their load. But when it's a matter of my attitude about my own situation, I'm not supposed to be standing around saying, well, somebody's supposed to help me with this. No, I need to carry my own load. Okay? So if I'm talking about what I've got to do, it's mine to carry. If I'm talking about what you've got to do, I ought to lend a hand. Same kind of thing going on here. It's a paradox. But the first part is saying, don't lower yourself to the level of the fool and start behaving like him and answering accordingly. But the second verse, answer a fool according to his folly or he'll be wise in his own eyes, says that sometimes you need to go ahead and speak up, because even if that person does not get it, there are some things that can't go unchallenged. Every now and then I'm in the presence of people who say outlandishly stupid things. And I just keep my mouth shut because this person is not interested in what someone else has to say and there's not anybody else around where it's going to make a difference. Okay? It's going to be like an undeserved curse that just, you know, keeps flittering around out there in the air. It's not something that's going to make a big impact. Other situations, somebody's got to say something in response. And in those situations, you need to be prepared to speak. And sometimes what I do is simply ask the person to think about what they said. For instance, when I'm in line at the grocery store and somebody says, you know, oh my God. And I say, really, where? What? You just said, oh my God. What do you mean? What? Where? And they become conscious for a moment of the fact that they shouldn't be taking the Lord's name in vain. You know, I'm just trying to help. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he'll be wise in his own eyes. That would be bad. But don't stoop to his level. And don't start feeling that you've got to answer every fool and everything they say all the time. It is highly unlikely that the fool is going to receive much correction from what you say. because verse 3 has already established. For a fool, it usually takes physical pain to wake them up. And it is not my job to dish out the physical pain.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
All right, verses 6 through 10 are a bunch of things that don't fit. Verses 6 through 10 gives some very graphic images. Like cutting off one's feet or drinking violence is the sending a message by the hand of a fool. Let me just ask you a question. How do you feel about cutting off your feet? Okay? Sound like a plan? No, I don't think so. If you don't want to cut off your feet, don't trust a message to someone who's not trustworthy. Like a lame man's legs that hang limp is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Like tying a stone in a sling is the giving of honor to a fool. Now get this image. The sling, remember David and Goliath? You put the stone in the sling with the intention that when you let go of that one side, that one strap, that stone is going to come flying out of the sling and go to its target. So how stupid would it be to tie the stone into the sling? In other words, you are guaranteeing that what you were supposed to accomplish won't get done. How can you guarantee that what you should be accomplishing won't really work? Well, I'll give you one example. Giving honor to a fool. You remember the first verse? A fool doesn't deserve honor. It shouldn't be given. You're not being kind. It's like tying a stone in a sling. It is useless. It is foolish. You are behaving foolishly if you give honor to a fool. Like a thorn bush in a drunkard's hand is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Like an archer who wounds at random is he who hires a fool or any passerby. One of the morning news anchors on Fox News was asked by the producer, director, whomever, to throw a hatchet, an axe, a throwing axe, throw it at the target over there. He tried one time, it didn't work. They said, you need to throw it with greater force. And so during that little segment, he takes the axe and he throws it and it goes over the target and it hits a drummer in a band on the other side. Okay? Could have killed the guy. The guy said, I thank God that I wasn't more seriously injured. He was injured, but not terribly. It hit him broadside against his elbow. But I mean, we're talking about a metal axe hitting a guy in the elbow. That's bad. Well, do you know what? That's what you do, potentially, is just letting something go in a way that can injure others if you hire a fool or somebody that you have no reason to have confidence in. Just any passerby. You're not doing them a favor. And sometimes you say, you know, I wish they'd give me something really, you know, really meaningful to do. Well, show what you can do with something that you don't consider as meaningful. Because Jesus promises this. He who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. He who is unfaithful in little will be unfaithful in much. If you're not doing a good job with the stuff you currently have to do, don't expect a promotion. Verse 11, one of the prettiest pictures in the passage. As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Has anybody ever seen a dog do that? It says there's something like that, and that is a fool repeats his folly. You'd think, having done that nasty thing, that the dog would say, I'm going to go over to the other side of the yard now. You would think that when a fool does something that is manifestly foolish, they would say, oh, goodness, what did I do? That's terrible. But instead, it's like, hey, that was cool. I think I'll try that again. Y'all, watch this. A fool returns to his folly. Just does the same thing over and over again. Don't repeat your folly. Don't do it again. Verses 12 through 16. Do you see a man who's wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Now, we've already established that a fool is like a dog that returns to its vomit. So what could be worse than being a fool? Thinking you're wise. Being wise in your own eyes. Don't have too high an opinion of yourself. Don't think that you are God's gift to humanity. Then he talks about the sluggard. And he says, the sluggard says there's a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. Is that because there's a lion out there? No. It's because that person does not want to go out and do what needs to be done. Verse 14, as a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. What does that mean? Well, a door turns, it moves, but it never goes anywhere. It's laziness. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He's too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. He's wiser in his own eyes than seven men who answer discreetly. So when he says, do you see a man who's wise in his own eyes? Who's he talking about? The sluggard, lazy person. And then in verses 18 through 22, it warns about people stirring up trouble. Look at verse 23. Like a coating of glaze over earthenware or fervent lips with an evil heart. You know what earthenware is? That's basically cheap stuff. But the cheap stuff can be made to look like it's really good. Like a coating of glaze over earthenware are fervent lips with an evil heart. Verses 24 through 26 describe the folly of that. A malicious man disguises himself with his lips, but in his heart he harbors deceit. What's underneath the veneer of that earthenware dish? It's still just earthenware. Putting a glaze on it doesn't change it from being earthenware. It's still the cheap stuff. Though his speech is charming, do not believe him, for seven abominations fill his heart. His malice may be concealed by deception, but his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. Sooner or later, it's going to come out what's really going on, and that is that his lips say one thing, but what's in his heart is something different. This is a warning about the fact that there are people who are phony and who say the right stuff, but what's inside of them doesn't match. Verse 28 says a lying tongue, remember what verses 23 through 26 described, a lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Do not be guilty of deceptive speech. Don't be phony. Don't say one thing when what's in your heart is something else. That is widespread, and it is a deadly disease. And ultimately, it not only wounds others, but the rock that you're trying to roll is going to fall back on you. Don't be guilty of deception. Be honest.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.